Un total de 90 obras realizadas entre 1970 y 1980 integran la exposición del artista neoyorquino Roy Lichtenstein, uno de los creadores más originales y destacados del arte pop de los años 60, que ofrecemos en la sede de la Fundación Juan Marc a partir del día de hoy. Se trata de la primera muestra retrospectiva de la más reciente producción de Lichtenstein, que, organizada por el Museo Organizado de San Luis, el Museo Americano de San Luis, con la colaboración de la Fundación American Express y del National Endowment for the Arts, se ofrece ahora en España, tras haber recorrido en los dos últimos años diversos museos de Estados Unidos, Alemania, Italia y Francia. La muestra, procedente de París, permanecerá abierta en la Fundación hasta el día 20 de marzo próximo, para visitar después Tokio antes de deshacerse. La importancia de esta exposición de Lichtenstein, que ofrece pinturas, esculturas y dibujos, radica en que permite contemplar la evolución seguida por el artista a partir de 1970, es decir, su producción posterior al pop art, que él basó principalmente en la utilización del cómic y del anuncio publicitario como temas de su obra de arte. Así, junto a las originales series temáticas de espejos, molduras, estudios, abstracciones, pinceladas, etcétera, etcétera, figuran obras que revelan la lectura personal de Lichtenstein de los principales movimientos de la vanguardia del siglo XX, como el cubismo, el surrealismo, el futurismo o el expresionismo. La exposición es realmente una fiesta de color y vitalidad, y define bien el camino estético en que Roy Lichtenstein se ha movido en los últimos años. El catálogo de la exposición ha sido realizado por Jack Howard, conservador del Museo de San Luis. Y además del catálogo, hemos editado con carácter novenal un folleto desplegable con textos de Carter Radcliffe y del señor Howard. La Fundación había ofrecido al propio señor Howard pronunciar la conferencia inaugural de esta exposición, dada su relevante responsabilidad en la organización de la misma, así como su profundo conocimiento de la obra de Roy Lichtenstein. Este era nuestro plan. Pero en el día de ayer recibimos un telegrama desde América del señor Howard en el que, por razones de salud, excusaba su presencia entre nosotros en el día de hoy. Ciertamente lamentamos mucho la enfermedad del señor Howard y hacemos votos por su rápida recuperación. Pero, como dice el viejo refrán español, no hay bien que por mal no venga, y creo que la solución que hemos encontrado no es del todo mala, ni muchísimo menos, ya que va a ser el propio Roy Lichtenstein quien, tras estas palabras mías de presentación, va a dirigirse a ustedes como conferenciante sobre su propia obra. Puedo asegurarles que las palabras que va a pronunciar Lichtenstein se deben a la forzada ausencia del señor Howard y han sido preparadas esta misma mañana. No esperemos, por tanto, una conferencia profesoral, sino simplemente una charla amistosa del gran artista ante un público español. Nuestra gratitud al señor Lichtenstein por su presencia entre nosotros y por la amabilidad con que ha accedido a sustituir al señor Howard en este acto inaugural. Quiero también resaltar la presencia en la sala del señor embajador de los Estados Unidos y agradecer públicamente a Gustavo Torner la colaboración que una vez más ha prestado a la Fundación Juan Marc en la organización de la exposición que hoy inauguramos. A todos, pues, la gratitud de la Fundación, extensiva también, como es obvio, a todos ustedes, señoras y señores, por su asistencia a este acto. Nada más, muchas gracias.
I think of realism as starting very much at the beginning of Western art, let's say, just to take it as an example of how it got to pop art. And you have, in the beginning, art that deals completely with religion and depicts maybe only religious figures. You begin to get the suppliant donor, the person who paid for the painting, and he gets his face in the painting, and that's maybe the first pop expression. And then painting gets more and more vulgar, in the sense I'm using the word, in that it begins to, it's not very vulgar, of course, when it depicts kings instead of deities, and then it depicts members of the court and ordinary people, and then finally the background of the painting, the landscape, becomes the central subject of the painting, and still life, and these still lifes become more and more ordinary. Chardin, Courbet, Daumier, all people who make a painting more down to earth, more immediate, more dealing with the present time, their present time. You get to such pop objects as the absinthe glass of Picasso. You get cubist works that have actual tickets and matchbook covers in them, present everyday objects put into the art. All of this, I think, can be seen as preceding pop. They're the ordinary subjects of the day. I think that Americans felt that their landscape was somewhat different from European landscape, which was still portraying wine bottles and some aspects of a kind of nostalgic, beautiful culture that dealt with nuance and brushstrokes and subtle differences, even though the paintings were quite brutal in a certain way. I'm talking about Picasso and Miro, Matisse, and so forth. But that the American, or not so much the American as the industrialized landscape, and that was the industrialized landscape pervaded most European countries. It probably was more concentrated, or seemed that way to you if you lived in New Jersey, as I did at the time. And to still work in a method that seemed to have older origins was, of course, we didn't think this out this way at all. This is all after the fact to make it sound interesting and intellectual. Actually, the idea just sort of occurred to us, but artists such as Oldenburg, Warhol, Wesselman, Siegel and Dine, and many, many others, wanted to make a plainer statement, or somehow got the idea to make a plainer statement. I think one of the more immediate precursors of pop was The Happenings, which were done by Alan Kaprow, Jim Dine, and Oldenburg. The Happenings were very expressionist in a certain way, but they contained immediate subjects or American subjects. They weren't really American, but we thought of them that way. Tires piled up, Coke bottles, various things. Johns and Rauschenberg, particularly Rauschenberg, did happenings as well as paintings. And in these happenings, the subject was a subject we'd be more likely to find in our immediate environment. And that, I think, is the thing that triggered pop. I know I myself was using comic figures, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, in abstract expressionist form. They were kind of like de Kooning's paintings, only instead of a de Kooning woman, there was Donald Duck. But it was fairly obscured, hardly visible duck. And somehow I was doing this from, at the time, a wrapper, a bubblegum wrapper. And the idea somehow occurred to me, probably because of all of these other influences, to see what it would be like to do a painting that was seemed to be just like the bubblegum wrapper. And the first painting I did was a painting called Look Mickey. And that painting appears in a painting that's in the show, which is the artist studio number one, subtitled Look Mickey. And that, for me, began, that was my first expression of pop art. The first, I thought it would be good, instead of having paint texture, the kind you get from heavy brushstrokes, and thin brushstrokes and the canvas showing and all that, to use the Bende dots, those repeated dots or diagonals or some other mechanical texture along with unmodulated color. Part of the reason for the unmodulated color is to get rid of something that might look like atmosphere. And the atmosphere is something that separates you from the painting. It looks like a painting of a comic book. Whereas a painting without modulation, of that's change of color, of course, would look like the comic strip itself. quite different from painting one a comic book lying on a table. So there's no perspective and there's no distance from the artist or the viewer to the painting. So all of this, in my mind, tried to harden it to make a more difficult, more immediate statement. There were other origins of pop art, such as Richard Hamilton and some of the people in England who did work, I think, as early as 1953. Certainly, Johns and Rauschenberg were working about that time, doing work that impinged on later pop. They probably don't love to be called pop artists, which seems to have a slightly negative connotation. That's about all I can do with the first question. You think the others are going to be this long, but they're not. They're going to be very fast. The next question that they wrote for me is the relationship between mass media advertising and pop art. Of course, the style of pop art is the style of mass media. Jim Rosenquist does one kind of airbrushed art that you might see on billboards. Oldenburg does three-dimensional work that reminds you of kind of three-dimensional things like hamburgers and things. I do the work from cartoons. But there's a sort of feedback into commercial art, or there was. It became maybe somewhat, I don't know whether it was respectable or chic or whatever it was, but after cartoons were done as art, then it became more interesting, ironic, or whatever, to do cartoons even for more luxurious merchandise than cartoons would have been used to advertise before. There's a sentence there somewhere. I don't know. I can't think of much else to say about the relationship between pop and the media. Of course, it comes from the media, and it kind of parodies the mass media. And it's somewhat critical, I guess, of advertising and commercial art, but it finds in commercial art images that are big, that represent the culture for better or worse. Some people think it's completely accepting of the commercial world, and because it doesn't appear to be criticizing it as more political art would do, but I think that it must be realized that the work is ironic in some way and is meant somewhat to be critical, but that's not its major function. Okay, let me give you another one. It says, how do you use Picasso, Mondrian, and Leger in your work? There are others. Of course, I've used German Expressionism and various other artists. Well, I'm using them, I guess, pretty much as they might seem to be in the public mind, or as they might be reproduced very often, or as you might verbally describe a Picasso. It's made out of triangles and it has black lines around it. So it's sort of, it's a vulgarized Picasso. It's a fake Picasso. You can tell it's a fake because it has dots and it's been reproduced. I like to reinterpret the art. I've always used two-dimensional art. Rather than three-dimensional art, or almost always used it, for one, not just to be perverse, but because it shows it doesn't, because artists have always been working in terms of the history of art, and any style of any modern artist has undergone an evolution, and certainly has behind it the understanding of a certain amount of art history. The images used today wouldn't exist the way they do, of course, without without history behind it. So, the reproduction for my work to look like a kind of idiotic, let's say, reproduction of a Picasso or a Mondrian is what is one look I'm trying to have it have. But I'm want it to be a new work, one that is seriously put together as a work of art, but is my own work, without even the nuances that they have. And I suppose when they first came out, they seemed to be without nuance also. I have another question, and that's, this is a hard one to answer. I don't think I can answer it even, but I'll tell you what the question is. How pop art relates to the work of young artists and their thinking of artists, the new expressionist artists that are cropping up all over. It's a kind of art that seems to be like German expressionism done by, well, they're Americans, Julius Schnabel and Sali and so forth, and Italian artists, Clemente, Kia, Kuki. There are many other artists, German artists, Baselitz and Penck. Anyway, the only thing I can feel is that there is a certain pop influence in most, a lot of the movements of art today, really not so much in these particular artists which are asked about, more in the new wave artists who pretend to be working from fashion or from movie illustrations. Many of them look like photographs of taken from movie stills and that sort of thing. But I think they all have some little aspect of irony that might come from pop art. It's stretching the point a bit for these expressionist artists. They look sort of serious. They're handled very vigorously, but they don't really have the anxiety that German expressionist artists that we know of, the past German expressionists, seem to have. I don't know if you're familiar with these artists, so I don't know how revelatory what I'm saying actually is in this regard. But we are drawing to an end. That's question four. And let me say that it's been terrific. And maybe if you... if I had prepared the speech, it would have even been better. And if you look at the exhibition and want to ask me any questions while I'm in there, I'd be happy to deal with it. And thank you very much for sitting here listening. Good.